tranny, twit tricks. Trump's Twitter, Trump's tranny, twit tricks. Trump's Twitter, Trump's tranny, twit tricks. All right, good morning, children. There's a lot of theft. A lot of theft going on today here at the Cynical Libertarian Society. Here in the Great One's life, there's a lot of theft going on. Theft of the things that mean the most to me. No, not the CSU women's volleyball team. Nobody stole them. Thank goodness. But other things that mean a lot to the Great One. There are some things out there the Great One values, and they have been stolen from him yet again. We'll talk about that in a second. We'll talk about some other stuff, too, depending if my voice holds up. Because I'm short on time. And I gotta get this knocked out because I'm going off to have some drinks with Rachel and fuck around for a while. And then potentially go do some shopping and errands and shit I need to do. Yeah, you know, just another exciting Sunday in the life of the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. He's been on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 15 years. He's right. He was always right. He has always been right. He will always be right. He has never been wrong. You may be saying to yourself, a Great One, that's just not possible. And it is. And we're going to prove it today because this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform for which I launched the cruise missile and my intellect and destroys motherfucking stakes all around the world. Go fuck yourselves. Let's talk about the theft. Let's talk about the thieving, the stealing of the things the Great One holds valuable. In addition to the CSU women's volleyball team. Last night, I had to do a theater gig, and it was an early start, and it was a short strike, which was nice. Today, the Great One is grateful for short strikes. When you do a short strike, anytime you do a strike in the theater world and you get home before midnight, that's a damn good night. Got home last night by 2300. I was in bed. It was great because I was not as tired as I was the night before. God, the night before, because I was at a theater gig the night before. I was so fucking tired. I was literally Hitler falling over as I was trying to walk. That is how tired I was. And no, I was not drunk. I had zero alcohol yesterday. And I've had zero alcohol so far today, so I'm not drunk now. And I was not drunk then. And I was not drunk. Didn't drink yesterday either. Didn't drink the day before when I was here. So there was no booze involved. I was just fucking exhausted. Falling over sideways. Literally Hitler. So last night I was doing a lot better. We knocked out strike, got it done, got home. I'm happy. It's all grateful for short strikes, grateful for getting home before midnight. Go to bed, bam, I'm out. Wake up this morning, look at the clock. I didn't set the alarm. Wake up this morning and I look at the clock and it's 07:30. I'm like, yeah, this is a good time to get up. 07:30. All right. So I get up and I do my thing, you know, brush the teeth and take a whiz and wash the face. I go fire up the coffee pot. I putz around a little bit here. Then I go back to the coffee pot. Coffee's ready. Great. So I get the coffee and I grab the book that I'm currently working on. We're going to talk about some books today. It's going to be book review day with the Great One. I am reading Scratch Man. It's a Doctor Who story written by Tom Baker, who, of course, was the fourth Doctor, as everybody who is cool knows this. And this came out a long time ago. I was trying to flip through here and find the copyright page. Whew, breathe. Man, this is the first time I've talked all morning. I'll tell you about it in a minute. I'll tell you about my morning. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the theft. Wait, hold on. first published in 2019. Really? I thought he wrote this book a long time ago. Or maybe he just had the idea a long time ago, because I remember reading about this book years and years ago. Because it does, I think Tom Baker originally, I think he wanted to develop this into a movie. His original concept was that this would be a Doctor Who movie. Huh. Alright, well, that shows you what the fuck I know. So I'm reading Doctor Who, Scratch Man, written by Tom Baker. So I grab my book and I plop down in the chair. I drop things like that. I got my coffee, and I'm reading along, and I'm drinking my coffee, and I look up, and the clock says it's 09:30. And I'm like, hold on. What the fuck? There's no way in hell I've been awake for 2 hours. Unless, you know, I'm having memory losses or some shit. I have brain cancer, and I'm blacking out or something. I don't know. There's no way. And I'm trying to puzzle this out. And I'm thinking about, and I go back in the kitchen to get some more coffee. Because that's part of why I just looked up from the book, because I ran out of coffee. So I had to go refill the Alice in Wonderland coffee mug, which was given to me by a cute little redhead, which is why I drink my coffee out of that coffee cup every morning without fail. I, of course, would rather be drinking out of a cute little redhead, but you take what you can get. And I look at the clock on the stove, and the clock on the stove says it's 9:30. But the clock in the living room says it's 9:30. Now you're saying, well, great one. Of course, both the clocks say it's fucking 9:30, probably because it's fucking 9:30. You moron. No. See, you don't understand. See, the clock in the living room is an atomic clock, whereas the clock on the oven is just a clock you have to manually set. And so when we do that stupid thing where the time goes backwards by an hour, I don't change the clock on the oven because there's no point, because it's not that big of a deal. So the clock on the oven and the clock in the living room should be 1 hour apart. So I go back in the living room, I look, and I say, it's 9:30. And I look at this fucking oven, and it says, 09:30. So I go in the bedroom where the alarm clock is, which is just an alarm clock. I look at that, and it says, 08:30. And then I realized, I just got fucked out of an hour of my life, didn't I? Yet again, a bunch of fucking dimwits have stolen an hour of my life. And I come over here and I look on the fucking calendar, right over here on the wall. I got a calendar right here. It's where I track. It's the calendar where I track if I got a post up for the Cynical Libertarian Society, and it's also where I track how many girls I approached versus how many girls I should have approached and pussied out on. So I can be reminded of my failures, and I do not need you to remind me of my failures. I, not being a woman, have a self-awareness, and I know when I've fucked up. And right there on the calendar, it says, daylight saving time, begin, whatever the fuck it is. God damn it, there's an hour of my life. You little fuckers. I had no idea this was coming. I remember the olden days. Back in the olden days when I paid attention to the media. And daylight savings time was like hammered at you all the time. Right? You'd see it on the television. It'd be giant things in the newspapers. Daylight savings time is coming. I think it's a testimony to how little attention I pay to anything that I don't. Or maybe they just don't do this anymore because everybody tells time with their cell phones and the cell phone automatically changes. Maybe nobody pays attention. But the important part was I was pissed off because now I'm short a fucking hour. See, I could have spent that hour doing another podcast for you guys, but no. See, it was stolen. That was stolen from you. You are missing out on an hour of my great wisdom. You know, and sometimes my great wisdom is just translating the wisdom of Zoomers, where we learn important things such as lying to people is how you illustrate your dedication. So since I'd had an hour of my life stolen from me, I figured, why not continue the trend? Let me go ahead and knock out something that I've been needing to knock out. And no, it's not having sex with the CSU women's volleyball team, although that is something I do need to knock out. I thought, let me go ahead and get my fucking income taxes done. So I sit down, and I blow through my taxes, which didn't take long because much to do. And in the process of finding out how much money the federal government, remember, money is time. In the process of finding how much of my money the federal government is stealing from me and finding out how much of my money the state of Colorado government is stealing from me, is a morning of theft. A morning of theft. And I know, I understand, I can hear all of you, but great one. Who would build the roads? I know. Just shut the fuck up, you cucks. In the process of determining how much money is being stolen from me by the federal and state of Colorado governments, I do delve into the instruction book for the state of Colorado income tax. Because at first I thought, whoa, this can't be right. This taxes is way too high. But then I realized, no, it was. I am actually getting money back from the state of Colorado, as I typically do. I just had wrong numbers in my head. But as I'm looking through the book, when I thought that I had done something wrong, so I'm reading through the book trying to figure out where my mistake was, I ran across this. And if I remember, I'm going to put a screenshot of this in the show notes. And I'm still not 100% sure what to think about this. So we may have to revisit this after I think about it some more. Or, I mean, if you've got a analysis of this or an interpretation, feel free to send it on over because this is a little baffling to me. So when you're figuring your income, right, you take your income, this is for the state of Colorado income tax, you take your federal income after you've done your deductions and you plug that in there. And so that's your starting point. And then there are other things that may add to your income, which you have to pay taxes on, okay? And so there's a list here and things like, okay, bond interest, the amount of any interest earned from bonds issued by any state or political subdivision. Then there's improper distributions. I don't know what an improper... I mean, if the distribution is improper, wouldn't it be illegal or something? I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't matter. We can ask... You know, you can ask Chad Elkins at elkinscpa.com if you want to know. I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure I don't have any. Improper distributions from a qualified state tuition program for which tuition program contribution subtraction was previously claimed. Don't know what that... I mean, if we're going to have taxes, can they... And they can't. We know they can't. And that's the whole point, is that the purpose of taxation... I've said this before. I haven't said it lately. I know I have new listeners. Let me explain to you guys what the purpose of taxation is, especially income taxes. The purpose of taxation is not to raise revenue for the government. If you think that's what taxes are for, you're a dimwit. The purpose of taxation is to modify people's behavior. Right? If the purpose of the income tax was just to raise taxes, you would just say, hey, you take your income, you knock off 15% of it, that's your deduction. Whatever's left, you owe 4% taxes on that. End of discussion. It's that simple. The math is that simple, right? You would save a fortune of money because you don't need a shit ton of IRS employees. You don't need all these forms. You don't need all this shit. You would make more money, and it would be simpler, more streamlined process, and you wouldn't pay as much money to administrate the process of collecting the fucking taxes. It's not difficult to understand. It's mind-blowingly simple. Okay, so the purpose of the income tax, once again, sin taxes, we know what sin taxes are for. We're going to tax cigarettes so people stop smoking. Don't fucking tell me the purpose of the tax is not to modify people's behavior. So all of these weird deductions and write-offs and all this other shit in the income tax code, they are there specifically to modify people's behavior. It's not about generating revenue. I mean, why in the fuck, when you print the fucking money yourself, it's not like you even need taxes to raise money. Now, people are going to jump in and say, well, but if they print more money, it devalues it. Okay, no shit. I really haven't noticed that being a problem for the government yet. They're printing money all the fucking time and devaluing it. What's the big fucking deal? It's not like most of you out there even understand what is a Federal Reserve. All right, next up on the things you have to pay taxes on, we have dependent child income, blah, blah, blah. Then we have charitable gross conservation easement. No, don't know what it is. Alien labor, the amount of expenses for unauthorized alien labor services. Okay, now this is fascinating. Now this is even the good part. The amount of expenses for unauthorized alien labor services. So if you paid money for unauthorized alien labor services, you have to report the money you paid, no wait, or that you got. The amount of, for unauthorized alien labor. Okay, but my point is, if it's unauthorized, isn't it illegal? So if you paid or got money for doing something illegal, you're supposed to report that on your taxes and pay taxes on it? Like, what does this fucking mean? Then we have partnership fiduciary. The amount of any fiduciary, I'm saying that word wrong, adjustment or partner, blah, blah, blah. Then we're skipping ahead a little bit. We got distributions from a medical savings account not made for an eligible expense. God forbid you spend your own money on something you want to spend it on without the government's permission. Then we have charitable hunger relief credit add back. The amount of your federal charitable deduction for a donation for which a credit for food contributed to hunger relief charitable organizations is claimed. What? What? I mean, what? What? The amount of your federal charitable deduction for a donation for which a credit for food contributed to hunger relief charitable organizations is claimed. What in the fuck is that? But here's the good part. I'm not sure what this means yet. But I have an idea of what this is for. Common wisdom, and I'm assuming this is true, I haven't researched it, but is that, was it Al Capone? Or Sam Ari, the bootleggers, right, were not taken down for bootlegging or whatever. They were taken down for income tax evasion. Right, once again, if you think the purpose of the income tax We're doing a great job talking about books here, aren't we? I can see this is going to go really fucking well. The entire purpose of the income tax is not just to modify behavior, but to also create a weapon that can be used against people, right? Somebody's doing something illegal. Well, it's hard to get them for maybe doing whatever it is that's illegal for whatever reason. Okay, but did they pay taxes on it? Oh, now you can get them on tax evasion. All right, the tax code is a weapon to be used against citizens. And the government, as Adam Piggott recently figured out when he wrote about coronavirus and how the government isn't really willing to invest anything to protect people from the coronavirus because it's more cost effective to just let people die. As Adam Piggott has finally discovered, where I was 7 years ago, that the government doesn't fucking care about you. And this is a big problem a lot of you cucks out there still have, is that you cannot get past your clinging to the government. Right. Once again, even you fucking Nazis out there who are saying, well, we just need a national socialist government to protect the interest of white people. Guys, you once again, we've been through this before. Let's go through it again, especially because maybe there's a new national socialist government Nazi supporter listening to the podcast. You haven't heard this before. And maybe you can explain this, because as of yet, I've still had nobody send me an email giving me any kind of fucking rationalization or explanation for any of this. First of all, I want to know, how are you going to put your national socialist government into place? I mean, you can't even take voting away from women. How in the fuck are you going to get a national socialist government without killing a bunch of people? And of course, all of you Nazis fall all over yourselves to talk about how you don't but we don't advocate violence. We don't advocate violence. Oh, how exactly? Explain it to me. Enlighten me. See, I'm stupid. I'm not a 19-year-old Zoomer who has come to the understanding that being lied to by people is how those people show you their dedication. See, I still think that when someone lies to me, they're a lying motherfucker and I shouldn't trust them anymore, much less vote for them. So first, explain to me how you're going to get your national socialist government without killing anybody because you're so terrified of violence. But secondly, let's pretend that you magically have your national socialist government. And I've already lost track of why we're going down this road. Hopefully I'll remember and we'll get back on fucking track in a minute. But let's say you magically get your goddamn national socialist government that you can't stop sucking the dick of. Okay? How long do you think the national socialist government is going to remain this precious, pure national socialist government that looks out for the interest of white people before it gets corrupted like every other fucking government in the history of the governments? To the point that it regards the citizens as simply being tax cattle. And you'll be sitting there going, oh, the government doesn't care about us. Of course the government doesn't care about you. Governments do not care about the people they govern. You, as the tax cattle of the government, you are not a person to them. You are a financial resource. Okay, look, if governments gave a fuck about their citizens, first of all, they'd enforce their borders, but secondly, they would incentivize women to stay home and raise their children so the children become good citizens and so that the male children can go forth and create and build infrastructure and keep things running, and the women folk can stay home. I know, sexist, I know, don't care. The women folk can stay home and raise the children to be either good men folk or good women folk. But no, what is the government doing right now? What does the government incentivize? The government incentivize women to spit out babies and then shoot the babies into the public education daycare system as fast as possible so that the women is working and the men's is working and the fucking teachers is working and the daycares are working. And why is the government want everybody working? Because if you're working and you're working, you're paying each other, money is changing hands. And what happens every time money changes hands? You tax it. You are tax cattle. The government of the United States is not going. So then, the other day, somebody, where the fuck was it? Someone was whining about how, oh, it was over at Umbrella Corporation. One of the little fucking sheeple over there was talking about, apparently, I guess Donald Trump gave a speech about coronavirus, and he said that we're prepared for the coronavirus. And the little fucking leftist faggot was, you know, making fun or commenting on how we're not really prepared or some other shit. You know, but the point is, first of all, no, the government isn't prepared because they don't need to be, because the cost of preparing, whatever that means exactly, to deal with some outbreak of coronavirus is more expensive than just letting the virus kill some people. Because, okay, but so you say, well, but great one, won't it kill off the tax cattle? Yes, but you can replace tax cattle. Have you heard of immigration? This is part of why the government doesn't want to enforce the fucking borders. That's how you get more tax cattle, especially when your native population is breeding less. And then, of course, there's also the fact that being as I, for those of you, if you're new around here, I used to work in biomedical research, and part of that biomedical research, we did actually work with bioweapons. And I have some idea of what goes into preparing and dealing with a biological outbreak. And you don't just prepare for, you don't set up this infrastructure. I mean, coronavirus has been a joke, I mean, in the news for how long? What, a couple of months? Okay, to set up an infrastructure to deal with a biological outbreak is something that takes years and years worth of work and planning. You don't just throw this up overnight, right? It's not like you go out and you drink a bunch of booze and you get all sick and then you just throw up. It takes a lot of work to put all this into position and a lot of money. And once again, we're back to, it's not worth it to the government. Because the people in the government, they're perfectly safe. They live in gated communities. You know, they have private physicians that make house calls. They have shit tons of money. They can afford to have water and food brought to them. They're not going to be affected by a biological outbreak. Still not quite sure how we got there from here, but going back to the Colorado state income tax. Now, let me read this to you. Oh, because Capone. So I'm going to read it. This is something that is here specifically to be used against heterosexual white people. Trust me on this. That much I know. How exactly they're going to do it, I'm not sure yet. Now remember, this is something you must pay taxes on. This is an addition to your income, your reported income to the federal government. You add to that the following thing. Quote, any expenses incurred by a taxpayer, right? You're not a person, you're not a human, you're a taxpayer. Just in case any of you are still a little bit unclear about what your relationship to the government is, okay, you are tax cattle, you are a resource, You are the property of the government and the creations that come out of your investment of your finite life and time and attention span and resources, part of that belongs to the government because you are a slave and taxation is theft. I know you've got all these fucking bizarre ways to justify it, like coronavirus and the roads and public education and fucking blowing up people in foreign countries with missiles launched from flying robots and the fucking poor people and the fucking retards and all this other horse shit that you fucking statist faggots fucking dredge up out of your sick little fucking tiny little imaginations to justify this shit. But no matter how much you justify it, okay, it's like if I walk up to a woman, I come up behind her, and I hit her over the back of the head with a baseball bat, and she falls down, and the back of her head is bleeding because it's busted open. I rip her clothes off, and I put my dick inside of her. I fuck her, and I shoot cum inside of her. I have raped her. I can justify it however the fuck I want. Okay? I can sit there and justify the fuck out of it. I still, in that circumstance, raped her. End of discussion. Same thing here. You can come up with your little fucking masturbatory fantasies about healthcare and roads and education and welfare and all this other fucking shit that you fucking parasites need to survive, because without these things you would die. You are slaves and taxation is theft. I don't give a fuck how much this hurts your goddamn feelings. Okay, here we go. Any expenses incurred by a taxpayer with respect to expenditures, any expenses incurred with respect to expenditures. Who wrote this? Any expenses incurred by a taxpayer with respect to expenditures made at or payments to a club that restricts membership on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, marital status, race, creed, religion, color, ancestry, or national origin. You have to report any money you spent at or payments made to a club that restricts membership on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, marital status, race, creed, color, religion, ancestry, or national origin. Okay, so there's a couple of things that leap to mind. I'm still trying to digest. First of all, I mean, let's just do the low-hanging fruit. Jews. Can I join a fucking synagogue? Well, no, I'm not Jewish. Okay, so that sounds to me like a club that restricts membership based on religion. Well, I do believe everybody has to pay taxes on all of their expenditures or payments made to their synagogue. We could say the same thing of the Muslims. God, we could say the same thing of the Christians, the Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses. The second thing that comes to mind, okay, what about the fitness clubs? Is it Curves for women only? It's a fitness club that restricts membership on the basis of sex. It is a gymnasium for women only. So do women, and it said not just expenditures made at or payments made to this club. So they have to report. And we know they don't. This is right. We know none of this is happening. As I'm saying, I don't know how exactly this is going to be used against heterosexual white men, but that's what it's here for. So if you're a woman and you're a member of the Curves Club, all your membership dues and every time you buy a bottle of water or a candy bar at the Curves Club, you should be tallying up that money and paying additional income tax on it. Is that happening? I'm pretty sure it's not. What in the fuck's name does this mean? Other than, of course, it means that you are a slave and you are the property of the government. I mean, we know that. We've established that. Some of you are still clinging to the fact that you're free and all this other horse shit. And I get it. Nobody wants to know that they're a slave. Nobody wants to accept that they are a slave. It's better to live in a fucking fantasy world, isn't it? Here's the problem with living in a fantasy world. If you live in a fantasy world, your chances of escaping are zero. You can acknowledge the reality that you are tax cattle without letting that destroy you, because the knowledge that you are tax cattle allows you to look for an opening to escape. I don't know what the fuck this means. Any expenses incurred by a taxpayer with respect to expenditures made at or payments made to a club that restricts membership on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, marital status, race, creed, religion, color, ancestry, or national origin. This is what governments have to do with their time. See, this is what's more important than protecting the tax cattle, citizens, from the coronavirus or enforcing the borders. Or I got a great article floating around here about crime in Fort Collins. It's absolutely a laugh a fucking minute. This is more important than that. This is what's important. This and legalizing marijuana. And legalizing marijuana is very important because people who smoke dope are stupid. And the stupider your tax cattle are, remember, you don't need intelligent tax cattle. We're doing a great job talking about books. You don't need intelligent tax cattle. You need a small number of intelligent people to sort of keep things going from the top, right? But especially now with automation and computers and everything is so, I mean, my God, look at all the industries that have women in them now. Everything is so dumbed down that even women can do a lot of things. You don't need intelligent tax cattle. You want your tax cattle to be complacent. They get up, they get in their little box, they drive down the road, and they go to their other box, and they sit in their box, and they do some stuff, and you tax them on the stuff, and they get back in their little box, and they drive back to their box, and they sit in their box, and they take some food out of a box, and they sit down in front of a box, and they watch moving pictures on the box, and then they go into a different part of the box, and they go to sleep, and they get up the next day, and they do it again. You don't want your tax cattle to be smart. And the beautiful thing about legalizing marijuana is that not only does legalizing the dope keep the tax cattle stupid and complacent and happy, but when they buy the marijuana, well, what do they pay? Taxes! See, that's the beauty. You just tax everything. And no one will figure it out because they're stupid. They're stoned. They're zoomers. They're boomers. Which reminds me, I got to bill this boomer. Let me make a note real quick. Long story short, I got a call from the boomer with the computer problems. They can't hook to the server. They can't get the computers to connect to the server. I go over there. It's like, okay, yeah, let me do this, let me do that. I go to the server. Well, the server is turned off. I turn the server on. Everything works fine. Here's a bill for $65. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Boomer. Okay, Boomer. Thank you. Bill. For 1 hour of my finite life. Which I will then pay taxes on so the government can fucking bomb some fucking people in a foreign country that are absolutely no fucking threat to me whatsoever. There's not a cocksucker in Afghanistan that is a threat to me. Not one. There's nobody in Afghanistan that I have a single fucking harsh thought about. But by God, the government's got to drop some fucking bombs on them, don't we?
It's for your freedom.
Now, the only threat to my freedom is the fucking federal government, the IRS, and whatever cocksuckers keep making me change the clock back and forth. Okay, those are the only fucking threats to my freedom on the planet fucking Earth. Nobody in Afghanistan is fucking coming for me. Nobody. Fucking morons. You fucking absolute fucking morons. Not the people in Afghanistan, the 99% here in the United States who can't get their fucking heads out of their asses and wrap them around the fact that you are slaves and taxation is theft. Once again, guys, you don't have to go through life being bitter and hateful about this. After I did my taxes and after I read this bizarre fucking statement, you know what I did? No, you don't know what I did unless you're stalking me. I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a hint. It did not, unfortunately, involve the CSU women's volleyball team. It is like, well, was, I think it's actually chilled down a little bit. It was like 70 degrees and sunny. Like, oh my God, finally, I'm looking at the weather forecast, which is nothing but lies. But I'm looking at the weather forecast and we got 60s coming up. I'm like, thank God we're coming out of winter. Until, because it's Colorado, it's only March. In April, we'll get this fucking snowstorm fucking shit show. I almost guarantee, we're due for one. We're really due for a late snow. We did not get a lot of snow this winter. So after having an hour of my life stolen, and then having a bunch of my money stolen, and then reading this bizarre-ass clause that is going to be used against white men sometime in the future by the government, I got my MP3 player that has some Rollo Tomasi podcast loaded up on it, and I got on my bicycle, and the CSU women's volleyball team came over. That's actually only in my imagination. And I went out on the trails and I went bike riding in the sunshine and the fresh air and the complete lack of attractive women. Absolute lack. Not one attractive woman. And I listened to Rollo Tomasi talk about, you know, things that Rollo talks about. I breathed the fresh air and I got some exercise. I got some sunlight, had a smile on my face, and I was happy. And at no point during that experience did I deny the fact, the empirical, verifiable, objective fact that I am tax cattle, that I am a slave, and that taxation is theft. But I did not allow this knowledge to destroy my enjoyment of my finite life. And maybe it's because that's such a, or is, see, the thing, is that such a difficult path to follow? Is that why so many of you out there can't accept that you are a slave and that taxation is theft? Because if you accept that, you'll plunge into some kind of pit of despair because you don't know how to balance your status as a slave with enjoying your life? I mean, is that the reason? Or are you people just truly so fucking stupid that you think being taxed. You know, and in our society, oh my God, right now, Stefan Molyneux did a video about this ages ago. It was titled something like, If Everything Was a Vagina. Right? I mean, with women, like, you got to get consent with women at every fucking point. Can I hold your hand? Here, let me get that in writing. You know, can I kiss you? Let me get that in writing. Can I touch your shoulder? Right? We've got this push from the feminist that anytime you interact with a woman, everything has to be about enthusiastic consent and consent, and it's consent, and consent is so important. I'm sorry, have any of you consented to being taxed? Well, you consent. Just, and I love, well, you consent by being here. Great. So if you like come into my, so if you're a woman and you just come into my house, just by being here, you consent to me doing whatever I want, right? So I can rape you. Okay. Well, by being in the United States, you consent to the government doing what it does. Oh, just by being here, I consent to the government doing anything. Well, this is fascinating because now let's extrapolate this into where it goes. I mean, we already know where this is going, don't we? Let's do the low-hanging fruit first. The fucking Jews were in Nazi Germany. Sounds to me like they consented to going to the concentration camps. If your presence in the physical jurisdiction of a government is your way of consenting that the government can do whatever the fuck it wants to you, then I'm sorry, Jews, shut the fuck up. You know, we can say the same thing, the Japanese that were interned by the government of the United States, they consented. Right, the United States appeared and they created the government and they said our jurisdiction is here. The American Indians were in the jurisdiction. Well, they consented. Right? If you consent to whatever the fucking government wants to do to you just by standing within the boundaries, which oddly enough, isn't it fascinating how the boundaries don't matter when illegal immigrants want to come in, but suddenly when it comes to you consenting, magically consenting without actually consenting, your implied consent that you're okay with the government taxing you, suddenly those boundaries and those borders make a huge difference, don't they? Oh, isn't that amazing? You can come in, you just can't get out. Anybody can come in. Nobody can get out. So, we're doing a great job talking about books. At this point, I should almost just hold off on it. I really should. So anyway, we talked about Doctor Who, Scratchman, and it's a good book so far. I like it. I'm also reading, I've mentioned this one before. It's called World War II Veterans Voices and Homefront Memories by Elaine Thomas. I started reading it. I sat it down for a while and I got back into it. It's all stories of people from Texas who served in World War II. She went around and talked to all these people and interviewed them and got their stories. And I'm definitely going to read a couple of these to you because just, oh man, I mean, God, I'm reading this. It's like men and also women. She interviews some women who were, you know, married to men who served or had brothers who served, and those men or those brothers are dead. And so she's talking to their wife or their sister and getting stories from her perspective. You know, I'm not a greatest generation dick sucker, but man, they're just, you read this because all of these, you know, these kids, these are kids, they're talking about this where it's World War II and they're going off to war. They're 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And I'm reading the things that these little 19-year-old kids are doing. And I think about the Zoomers today. I mean, God, it's a world of difference. So anyhow, it's a good book. I can highly recommend you purchase this book if you are interested in hearing the stories of World War II veterans. Again, it's World War II Veterans Voices and Homefront Memories by Elaine Thomas. The other book I just started reading. Just got this from the Amazon of the .com. And I'm probably going to have to read some excerpts from this from that. Read some excerpts from this book for you in the future. But I'm only on page, where the hell am I? I'm on page 40, and it's, oh God, 340 pages long. So I got a few pages to go, so I want to read some more. It is a collection of short essays, and it's written by Jim Goad, who is the same guy who wrote The Redneck Manifesto, which is a book that's been sitting on my shelf for years. God, is it real? It is almost that time. Fuck, that hour of my life. I don't know what pisses me off more. The taxation or the fucking hour of my life? I mean, I could look at this positively and say that now I'm going to get to spend time with Rachel an hour sooner than I thought I would. But I have an hour less to yell at the internet about how taxation is theft, and you people are too stupid to figure that out because you've got this weird masturbatory fantasy about the roads. And you say, well, great one. Well, you have a weird masturbatory fantasy about the CSU women's volleyball team. Yes, and you know what? If I had to choose between two different worlds, if I could live in a world where there were no roads but the CSU women's volleyball team, or a world where there were roads all over the place but no CSU women's volleyball team, I know which one I would choose. Anyhow, the book by Jim Goad, who wrote The Redneck Manifesto, is called Whiteness, The Original Sin. And it is a series of essays about white people and how we are, of course, racist, sexist, homophobic, destroy everything, yada, 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 yada. All the accusations that are thrown at us all the time for everybody, from everybody. And it's pretty harsh. I'm going to just warn you, some of you out there would be too snowflakey to read this book. But I also, so far, 40 pages in, I do recommend it. All right, I got to get the fuck out of here. Thanks for listening. And yeah, just go outside. Enjoy yourself, okay? Spend some time with your friends. But you're still tax cattle. Get the fuck over it.